Father in heaven, I want to thank you for the opportunity, God, to be able to be here today. Lord, thank you for bringing us all here safely. I thank you that you're keeping the runners safe as well. And we know, Lord, that your word tells us that every day has been created for us and written in your book before one of them came to be. And so we're purposed to be here today, Lord, and we're purposed to listen to your message and what you want to help us to understand for our life. I pray, Lord, that you would give me the words to be able to share this message for not just for this moment, but that it would go out and actually would be carried with us through the rest of this week, and really more importantly, through the rest of our life, because what is being said today really can make a major difference. And I pray that you would make that difference in our life. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ we do pray. And what does everybody say? Amen. All right. Well, it's good to be here with you today. And I'm thankful that Randy asked me actually to come and speak with you and to share a message of hope with you and promise and peace. And so I'm glad to be able to do that. Anytime I'm able to stand in someone's pulpit and actually stand to be able to deliver a message from God and from his word, to be honest, it's very honoring. And not only that, it's incredibly humbling. It's not easy to be able to stand and deliver a message and be accountable for that. So I've been praying that God would allow me to be able to give you something that's of worth and that you honestly can take with you and use as you leave this place today. Because here's the point. Unless something, here I go, Larry, I'm going to come down and talk. I can't stand up here. Unless something actually, I promise I won't scare you, okay? But unless something that is said here today makes a difference in your life, unless it changes you, then what we do here today, really, honestly, I don't want to call it just lip service, but honestly, it's just kind of playing church. How many of you have ever really would agree that you came and you've played church before? You know what I mean by that? Let's just be honest. Put your hand up. Okay, so there's two of us, or three of us that are honest in here today, right? I'm just kidding. But the point of it is, there's many times where I've honestly came to church and I've sat there and I've really honestly zoned out. I didn't hear a word that really was said, but I came and I did my, I hate to call it that, but I'm Rod. So Rod did his nod to God. You know, I came in and I'm like, okay, and I did my thing. And then after that, I didn't carry anything that I actually learned into the world. As a matter of fact, nothing really honestly changed me. Now, is that God's fault or is it mine? It's mine. There's a reason for that, and I'll share that with you here in just a few moments. But, you know, Randy told me that you guys were actually in your church has been looking at God's word. Is that where you've been? And the stories that are found in Scripture and the way that Scripture actually teaches us. Well, we're going to continue with that today. Because here's the thing I will tell you. The Bible in itself is not boring. As a matter of fact, it's not boring at all. The Bible has all kinds of things in it. Do you know what it has in it? And I'm just going to share with you a few things that it has in it. It has love stories, okay? It has scandal, right? Doesn't it have scandal in there? Think of David, you know, think of David and Bathsheba, right? Ooh, right? We got that one. So it has scandal. Yeah, I know somebody else got that. So we have scandal. We have murder that's in there. We have battles that are in there. We actually have shipwrecks that are in there. We actually have, oh gosh, there's actually a story of a witch that's in there. There's a story of a ghost that's in there. There's all kinds of stories that are in the Bible. So if you think the Bible is actually boring, you really need to read it again. Because it's incredibly interesting. But the one thing about the Bible is it's not just interesting. It's actually the very living Word of God. And that's the point we have to remember, is that the Bible is the living Word of God. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul said the Bible, or actually the Word of God, has the power to transform you. It is useful for teaching and correcting and rebuking. But more importantly, it's useful for training in what is called righteousness. Do you know what righteousness means? It just means learning how to do the right thing, learning to be good people. Not only that, learning to be God people. Learning to be Christians. But you know what the Bible also tells us is this, is it tells us that actually, and it says that actually James, who is the brother of Jesus, he said, here's the deal. You can read the Bible all you want. You can listen to the word of God all you want. You can come to church and hear this. But unless, like I said just a moment ago, unless it changes you, unless it does something to you, unless it moves you into action, it's not going to do any good for your life. And the only way it's going to move you to action and to do something good is if you take the word and you obey it. How many of you as parents? I heard you said. Okay, so right? You know, I see a smile right there. How many of you as parents, you told your kid to do something, you told them, you explained it, you went all through it, you lined it out for them, and they didn't do anything that you said? How many of you ever been there? How many as kids that you did that when you were a kid, right? Right? I love you in the back, man. He's like, man, I do that all the time, right? Okay. Well, the point of it is it doesn't really do any good unless you really actually, we can give you the word, we can give you direction, but unless you do something with it, it doesn't make any difference. Here's what actually James says. In James chapter 1, do you guys mind if I come out and talk to you like that? Okay, that's good. Because I like being with you. I don't like being up here too much. But in James chapter 1, verse 22, here's what it says. It says, do not merely listen to the word, do what it says. James chapter 1, verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word, do what it says. Listen, actually, I'm going to even read a little bit more. Here's what it says in James. It says in James chapter 1, verse 19, it says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Why do you think he says take note of this? He wants you, write it down. Pay attention. Here's what he says. He says, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness, doing the right thing of God. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you. Humbly accept it means do something with it. Not just actually listen to it, but accept it, which means I'm going to accept it and I'm going to follow it. Then he goes on and says, do not merely listen to the word and deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word and does not do it is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror, and after looking at himself, they go away and they immediately forget what they look like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do it, not forgetting what they heard, here again, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. The whole point is about doing what God's word tells you to do. And if you do what God's word tells you to do, there's a blessing in it. Not only that, but I want to tell you this. It transforms you. It makes you different. It gives you what I like to call the it factor. Have you ever heard somebody say, man, you either have it or you don't, right? Or if you know, there's something about you, there's something, this ability that turns things up. It makes things better. And if you have it, if the only way to get it is by following the word of God. And there's a transformational process that takes place. And then it comes out through your life. But it starts with following the words of God. And so the Bible tells us what we are to do. And but the most important part about it is doing it. And it makes us transformational, transform people. Now here's the question. What if following what God's word, though, destroys who you are as a human? Now, before you run me out of your church, let me explain that for just a second. Do you know God is completely different than who we are? God is all holy. God is all good. He does things right all the time. He never makes mistakes. He's perfect. He's loving. He's all of those kind of things. How many of us in this room are exactly like that? Okay, some of us are like, well, I think I'm pretty perfect, right? But God is all perfect. He's all good. We're not. So what if actually following the word of God destroys who you are as a human, which means all that junk, and makes you more like Jesus Christ? You see, following the word of God is detrimental to who you are as a human. It destroys who you are as a human, and it makes you more into the image of Jesus. So that's what the point is. So what if following God's word changes you? That would be a wonderful thing, wouldn't it? You know what Scripture says is this. It says, and actually, Isaiah chapter 55, listen to what it says. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. But what God is wanting us to understand is if we follow his word, there's a blessing. You know what the blessing is? We get on the same page as God. We're not exactly like him, but we become more like the image of Jesus Christ. We begin to think like he does. Still, we're going to make mistakes. Still, we're going to screw it up. Still, we're going to be bad people at times. But we begin to get it more right than we get it wrong. Does that make sense? We become transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Really, the Bible tells us if we do what the Bible tells us to do, we become these new creations and people see it. Listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Oh, wow, that's powerful, isn't it? He's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Oh, so the point of it is when we listen to God's word and we put it into our life, when we have a relationship with Christ, we listen to God's word, we do what it says, it gets us on the same page, his thoughts, his ways, and it helps us to be these transformed individuals. But it says, if we're in Christ, we should be new creations. Let me ask you a question, and this is really important, because it's not just about coming here to church and listening. When you leave this room, when you go back out into that world, are you different? Are you changed? Is your attitude better? Or is anything, does it really matter? Or do you leave here exactly the way you walked in? Because that's the truth that we have to really kind of connect with ourselves is unless this is changing us, unless we're taking the word and really doing it, it's not going to make any difference at all. You want to fill up your church? Be different people. You want to fill up this place and reach this community out here? Let your light shine. The only way you let your light shine is if you get on the same page as God and you become a transformed person, you're a new creation, and you begin to shine. And the only way to do that is by following the word of God. Don't merely listen to it. Do what it says. Do what it says. You know, as a pastor before, many times I feel like, am I just wasting my time? Because I've preached to people and I'm just like, I want to get there and go, I don't want to scare you, but I'm like, hey, can we talk? And they're like, whoa, right? And I'm just like, sit down with you and go, let's talk about this, right? Because there's got to be I want to be out here with you guys. There's got to be a difference. Because we're all in this together, aren't we? It's not just about somebody up there telling you what to do. It's about somebody up there teaching what God's word says. And then every one of us all together, we make the difference together. And when we, oh goodness, this is awesome. When we make the difference together, things happen. Things come alive, right? Don't merely listen to the word today. Don't just listen to it. Do what it says. If you do what it says, there's a blessing. You will be blessed. And not only that, this world will be a blessed, will be blessed through you, no matter how old you are or how young you are or how good looking you are, right? People are like, don't ever do that again. Okay? You can make a difference, but you only can do that is if you listen and you obey. Say that with me. Listen and obey. So here's the question. What if obeying destroyed who you are? That's a good thing. What if doing the word of God made you different? And it gets rid of your humanity. It punches a hole in it and it lets the light in. And you become a better person. Wouldn't that be a great thing? And so today what I want to do is teach you what the word of God tells you and how it's going to make you different. This world needs difference. They don't just need a bunch of people going and sitting in a church. They need the church to go and be the church. And the only way we can do that is by, we come here to get it so we can go out and give it. That's what it's about. Does that make sense? So how do we begin to do that? Well, the word of God tells you to pray. Not just praying for God to do things. This is where we pray for God to change us. I've heard people like, oh, I've got to pray for the world. The world is such a bad place. The world is a terrible place. Look at all these things that are happening. I'm like, no, yeah, the world's always been bad. It became bad when we began sinning, and it's always been bad. If you don't think it's been bad, it's not any worse than it used to be. You know, when Jesus actually was born, really, didn't King Herod go kill thousands of children? I mean, are we doing that today? No. Well, yeah, we do in the schools. People shoot it up all the time, don't they? It's a bad world. It's always going to be bad. How is it going to change? When we pray for God to change us. We don't pray to change the world. He says, listen, I am, but I'm trying to get your attention so that you can be the world changer. Make sense? So we've got to learn how to pray. And I'm going to give you some prayers today that actually are found in the Bible. The Bible teaches us how to pray. Not just like, well, Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. We know that. And Jesus prayed all the time. Yeah, we should follow that example. But what specifically should we pray? How many of you have ever been like, I don't know what to pray about? How many of you ever get up the same day and you pray the same thing every day, all the time, over and over and over? It just seems like that's just the same thing you say. How many pray and you just don't even, it just kind of becomes a prayer that you just, there is purpose prayer that makes you different. God says pray. Scripture says pray. But I want to give you three prayers today that you can pray, and I pray that you write these down. I hope you do. If you don't have one, Larry, what I'm going to do is send you this so you can distribute it to everybody, okay? So today I want to show you three prayers that are dangerous to your humanity, that's going to change you and transform you. But listen to this, please. Everybody pay attention. Look at me real quickly. If you don't pray these, it's not going to do you any good. Don't merely listen to the word and deceive yourself. Do what this says. And if you will do what this says, there is a transformational process that happens. So I want to show you the prayers, and they're found in Scripture. Here's the first prayer that you can begin to pray. Psalms chapter 119, verse 68. Listen to what it says here. Psalms 119, verse 68. I love this. Here's a prayer. And we kind of prayed it, or we just kind of sang it just a minute ago. The prayer is, you are good, and what you do is good. Teach me your decrees. That's a simple prayer. How long was that prayer? Very short, wasn't it? You know what, Jesus? I love Jesus I love Jesus sometimes. That's weird. I love Jesus all the time. But I love what Jesus said. There's some things that he said I think that's kind of funny. You know what he says sometimes in Scripture? One of the ones was, get to the point when you pray. You know, we try to do it eloquently. When you pray, don't go on babbling like pagans. Because, no. Jesus was like, yeah, that's how the Bible wrote it. And that was, it's kind of an English way of saying it. But what Jesus was really saying is, listen, when you pray, go tell God what you need. Get to the point. Don't just go on and on and on because you think you have to. It's okay to pray these simple prayers. And this prayer was this. It says, you are good, and what you do is good. Now, why would that prayer be dangerous if you pray that? And here's why. Because when you pray, you are good, and what you do is good, teach me this, it readjusts your natural view of life. Let me put it this way. In our world, don't we see drama everywhere we go? In our world, don't we focus on the bad? In our world, don't we always see everything that's happening? I mean, even the news, we turn on the news. And I'm not political in any way. But you turn on Fox News or CNN or NPR or whatever it might very well be. What do you hear on there? Drama, 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 don't you? You go into any work site, or you go into a cubicle in somebody's office. Pretty soon when people get together, you hear, pss, 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 pss. Why is that? Because it's negative. Humans, we gravitate towards the negative. Why is that? Because we're sinful people. We just go that way. Drama is a part of our life. So when we begin to pray, you are good, and what you do is good, teach me this, it changes the natural view of how we look at things. In other words, we begin to look, instead of what is bad, all the good that does surround us. Let me tell you a story. We think the world is so bad. The other day I was looking at a news story, and I was just reading it. Actually, it was a YouTube video, but it was, I can't remember what news station was on. But there was a kid who went to high school, and it was in an urban neighborhood. But he went to high school, and he said this. He said, my first 2 weeks of high school was a nightmare. And the reason was because he didn't have enough money to buy any clothes. And so for 2 weeks, he wore the same outfit every day. And all the kids and all the football players and everybody got around him and made fun of him and called him dirty and was making, saying all these things and social media about him and saying all this junk about who this kid was just because he didn't have the money to buy clothes. Every day. Until these two boys, who were football players themselves, one of them actually made fun of him too, they decided to show this kid love. And what they did is they went and raided their closets. They went and actually went into their own closets and they got all their new shirts and all their new shoes and all their shorts and they took them and they gave it to this guy right there in the school. Now listen, did they do that out of the love of God? I don't know, but let me just tell you this. Anytime good happens, that comes from God. It only comes from God. Good only comes from God. Does that make sense? God uses people. It doesn't matter if they are a believer or not. Sometimes God just shows up and says, I don't care who it is. I'm going to show my love because that person needs it. And for a while, all that kid could see was the negative. But just for a moment, he was able to see the love that somebody showed to him. And he said, these guys are the only guys that ever gave me anything in my life. They changed my life. Listen. I've seen so many Christians, I've been one of them, they go to church, they go all the time, but then they walk out and the only thing they ever see, the only thing they ever talk about is all negative things that are going on. This is bad, that's bad. They say this about me, this is that, and it's just complaining, negativity, everything. And I want to ask them, isn't there any kind of transformational change in your life? Aren't you a new creation? Aren't you able to show this world a little bit of love? I don't know if these kids were believers or not, but God showed up through them and he was able to actually give love to somebody else. How in the world can we give love out if we're not transformed? If we're not actually changing our natural view of things? We've got to begin to pray this prayer that says, teach me your decrees. You are good, God, and what you do is good. We got to begin to look around and stop looking at the negative and start looking at the positive. When you pray these prayers, and you not just listen to God's word, but you do that, you pray it, you're changed. You become different. The view of things around you becomes better. You are good. It teaches us to see all the reasons why God is good. Many of us, we leave and we're so down about things. Listen, you got to look around and say, you know what? I have many blessings. Count them one by one. When you're counting your blessings, you can't concentrate on the things that are going wrong. You've got to begin to say, you know what? God is good. Why is he good? He gives me so many things. And what you do is good. God brings the sun up every day. He gives us food. He gives us shelter. He gives us the opportunity, He gives us the opportunity to make this world a better place. I love this. Jesus calls you. He says, hey, you want to change the world? Let's do it. Let's do it together. But the only way you got to do that is by following what God's word says. And God's word tells you to pray this prayer and say, you are good, God. And what you do is good. And then the light comes on. And then you're able to share it with other people. Jesus said, you're the light of the world. A city on a hill can't be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and then put it under a bowl. But instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they can see your good deeds. And then they praise your Father in heaven. You are good, God. You know the day that those kids gave that guy something? He could have said, walked out the door and go, God, that was so good. They let their light shine. And if they weren't doing it out of God, it isn't out of their love for God. It doesn't matter. God shined his light through them regardless. Imagine what a Christian truly could do if you let your light shine in your workplace, in your home, in your church, in your school, where things change and you begin to see things in a better way. Don't merely listen to the word. Do what it says. Pray that prayer, and it'll dismantle who you are. It'll get rid of the negativity. Are you guys tracking with me on this? Let it change you. Listen, it's not going to do us any good if we sit here and hear this. You got to do it. If you want to be a blessing and be blessed, and if you want to make the world a better place. You know, there's a scripture that says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Right. But you know how many Christians are not Christian? You know how many people out there see Christians and Christianity and they're like, that doesn't taste very good. Because we don't give it. We've tasted and known that the Lord is good. And we get that. But what we have to do is now is say, you know what? The goodness that God has shown me, I've got to begin to say, God is good and what you do is good. And I'm going to show this world through me. Change me, God. Teach me how to do that. And he will. and things will get better. Here's another one. Here's one we can pray. Another prayer out of the Word of God that we need to do and makes things different. Here's what it says. It says, "Teach me knowledge and good judgment, for I believe in your commands." This is another prayer and another command out of the Word of God that teaches us how to pray and says we should pray this. And what it does is destructive to, here's what it's destructive to. When we say, "Teach me knowledge and good judgment, for I believe in your commands," you know what it does? Is it destroys our selfishness. It gets rid of the selfishness side and the prideful side. The beginning of the prayer says, "Teach me knowledge." You know what it means to have knowledge? It means that we have to be in a teachable position. How many of you ever encountered somebody where they think they just know it all? And you can't tell them a thing. So you're like my kids, right? Have you ever tried to talk to somebody and teach them and the only thing they do is they just tell you everything that they know, but they can't actually, you know, they're not in a humble position. The only way that we actually can be changed is when we humble ourselves before God and say, "I don't know how to be different. Teach me, God. I don't know how to be better. Teach me, God. Show me. Teach me knowledge and good judgment." Put us in a humble position. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, is what it says. But fools despise wisdom and discipline. When we pray this prayer asking for knowledge, we're asking God to give us what is called fear. Now, it doesn't mean that we're afraid of him. What that means is, oh man, this is important. If you're ever going to change, if you're ever going to make a difference, you and I, we actually have to respect God more. Fear is respect. It's not like I'm afraid of you. It's just respecting God, respecting his power, respecting his authority, respecting his moral compass. And we've got to begin to be people who say, you know what? I'm in a teachable position because I respect you. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You can't get knowledge until you respect God and say, "I'm not in charge. You are. Show me what I'm needing to do." When you're doing that, God then can work with you because he's finally got your attention. Good. You're in a place where, have you ever been humbled by God? That's not fun, is it? Have you ever been humbled by your dad or your mom? That isn't a fun thing, but you know what? Can you learn something from it, don't you? And the point of it is that it teaches you to be better. You see, the Word of God, it says when we don't merely listen to it, do what it says, it teaches you to be a better person and it brings blessing. So when we pray this teachable prayer, and we say, "God, you know, teach me knowledge and good judgment, for I believe in your commands," we're asking God to humble us. We're asking God to remove pride from our picture, from the picture of our life, to put us in a place of obedience. It's a prayer of submission and authority to God. It's a prayer that brings us to a place of respect. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Why does this word of God change us here for this prayer? Because here's what it does, is it opens up our eyes so that we don't go back and continually make the same mistakes over and over and over again. It puts us in a humble position. It gets rid of our impulses of greed and jealousy and pride and lust and all of those kind of things and poor judgment calls. Once again, listen to this. Teach me knowledge and good judgment. I believe in your commands. You know, if I look back, and what this does, how does this make us different? Teach me knowledge and good judgment. Basically what that means is saying, "God, show me where I've been wrong. Show me where I keep making mistakes." When we ask God to teach us knowledge and judgment, it helps us. Back and change something you did. That one thing that you're like, "Man, I just wish I could go back and grab the hand of that clock one more time, I'd pull it back, and I wouldn't do that one thing." Or maybe that 10, those 10 things. For Larry, it's probably 20. I'm just kidding. She's like, "Oh yeah, it's 20 or 30. I've got a list of them, all these things." You know, I get you. I wish we could do that. We can't go back, but what you can do is you can begin to go forward, and you can begin to pray that prayer and say, "Teach me knowledge and good judgment." And if you pray that prayer, you know what you have to do next? You have to actually begin to start reading God's word, because that's where the knowledge and good judgment comes from. You begin to say, "Teach me knowledge and good judgment."
Don't just pray it, then do what it says. How do you do it? You get into a humble position. You start reading God's Word. Listen, please, I told you earlier at the beginning, the Bible isn't boring. Don't buy into the lie that, oh, this is boring, it's hard to understand. It's not hard to understand. Start in the book of Proverbs. Read it. It'll tell you the way to avoid bad things in your life. Okay? Are you guys okay? Can you smile at me? Because you look like you're mad at me. It really will help you if you pray that prayer. And even the first one, you're good and what you do is good. That helps you to be reminded that God is good. Not only that, it helps you be reminded how the good things happen in your life so that you can share the goodness with others. But when you pray that prayer, teach me wisdom and teach me good judgment. That helps you to avoid mistakes. So you're starting to go down on a good path. You're a more positive person. You have something of value to share with others. And you're not screwing up all the time. That's a pretty good thing, isn't it? Remember, the Word of God is not just about giving you something so it makes you feel good or it talks about, you know, heaven and all those kind of things. No, my friends. Listen, the Word of God is to change you, to be transformed so that you're a new creation, so that you're a light shiner, so that you make a difference in the world. That's what the Word of God is for, and that's what these prayers are for. So when you pray those things and you don't just listen to it, but you really do it, then you actually become different and transformed new creations that are able to make a powerful difference in the world around us. You have it. And you get it. Hopefully people get it as well.
Those guys who have turned the world upside down have come to our town.
They have.
That's right.
But the point of it is that you guys are in this town, and you can still turn this world upside
Amen.
Down. But it doesn't just happen sitting here. Listen, I have spent my life preaching in churches, and I'm like, and then I watch Amen. People walk out, and there's no difference. It doesn't matter how many people you get in here.
That's right.
It matters what you do with the life that you have when you go out there. Because people may not want to come to church, but let me just say, the church isn't the building anyway. You are the church. Wherever you go, that's where the church is. And if they can see the light through you, then you've done your job. And then one day you'll hear, well done, good and faithful servant. You brought 40 people to church. And that's not what it says. You see, you come here to get equipped so you can go out and give things away, right? But you've got to be transformed in order to do that. And so you've got to listen to the Word of God, but you've got to do what it says. You've got to pray these prayers. Teach me. Teach me knowledge and good judgment so I don't make mistakes again, so I don't have a lifetime of regret. Teach me knowledge and good judgment. And here's another prayer. And this is one that we're going to kind of wind down on. And this is, I think, a pretty powerful one, okay? This is funny. This is an actual prayer. Job prayed it, but we should pray it too. It says, teach me, and I will be quiet. Show me where I have been wrong. Now, this is probably one of the most destructive prayers to our humanity. You know why that is? Because when you pray this prayer and you sincerely pray it, it opens you up to some of the most greatest spiritual growing moments ever. When you pray this prayer, it allows God to bring to you in your mind the moments from your day when you didn't do the right thing. Now, I'm not talking about sin. There's different prayers for that. But it's when you actually, let's just be honest, you're a big jerk. When you treated somebody poorly. When you're driving by them and you don't want to let them in. You just put on that accelerator. I'm not getting in. I'm not going to let you. Have you ever been there? When you're road raging on somebody. When you're social Facebooking mad at somebody. When you're Instagramming and you're like, okay, I'm going to tell them what I really think. When you're doing all these kind of things and you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, that's when you need to pray that prayer. I'm going to be quiet. Teach me where I've been wrong. You see, this prayer, this way, when you do that, what that does is that helps Jesus to come in and say, you haven't been a little bit like me today. I still love you, but here's where we need to work out some things. You need to be a little kinder. You need to show love. You know what love is? Let me ask you this question. What are we supposed to be given this world? Thank you, Larry. me real quick, everybody. What are we supposed to be given this world? The gospel. Love. The gospel. Which is the gospel? The love of God, right? But you know what love is? Love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It's not proud. Oh, here's one. It's not rude. Here's another one. It's not selfish. Here's a big one. It's not easily angered. And here's another one. It keeps no records of wrongs. It does not hold grudges. When you say, teach me, I will be quiet. Teach me where I've been wrong. What God may do, and what he will do, is he'll come in and say, listen, I'm not going to beat you up. I just want to help you be more like me. Remember, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Taste and see that the Lord is good. But how can people know that the Lord is good if we're just giving around, going around selling, you know, sour grapes to people all the time? We have to be people that not only just give the message of the gospel, but we've got to give the purpose and the meaning of the gospel. If the gospel message only saves your soul, but it doesn't change who you are as a person, then it really doesn't do a whole lot. Because the reason is, it may save you, but it truly won't help any save anybody else, because the only thing they're going to do is run away from you and say, Christianity is all about meanness and judgmentalness and all these kind of things. I'm not going to be, I don't want any of that. What, as Christians, what we have to do is be like Jesus. What did Jesus do? He walked around. He loved every person, no matter who they were or what they did. Not only that, he actually helped them when they were down. He was kind. He was forgiving. He was loving. He was all of these things. He was patient. He was kind, wasn't he? Did he hold grudges? Now, he spoke truth, but he loved people. See, sometimes as Christians, I think we want to tell everybody what we know. Jesus wants to say, listen, don't tell them what you know. Show them who you are and who I am through you. Because if you just tell them and you're not different, then honestly, you're kind of, it's, I hate to say this, but it's hypocritical. If you're not different, and I'm not just talking, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't do this, I don't do that. That's all rules. Okay? You're trying to be perfection. You're trying to be the law over here. Yeah, that's good. But it's more importantly is, am I kind to people? When I'm in the grocery store and somebody's taking too long in front of me, am I losing my mind? If my cheeseburger in the McDonald's drive-thru doesn't have ketchup on it, am I going to go in and yell at them because my, you know, doesn't have ketchup on it? Is that being Jesus? Is that being different? No, that is being like everyone else. Listen, I know that I'm just keep going, but I want to say one last thing. If the Word of God does not change you, if you're not doing what God's Word tells you, and you're not being changed, you're just listening to it. See, the Word of God is there. It says, anyone who listens to the Word but doesn't do what it says is like a person that looks at themselves in the mirror and then walks away and forgets what they look like. And that's what we do sometimes. When we go into church, we hear it, but then we walk out there and we forget what we're supposed to be doing. Right? Have I scared you guys today? You're like, please never invite that guy back. Transformational change only happens, well, there's my glasses, when we take God's Word and we use it in our life. That prayer that we're supposed to be praying, once again, Job 6:24, teach me and I will be quiet. Show me where I've been wrong. Look, Jesus has commanded us to do our part to make disciples, didn't he? He told us to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But here's what he said. He didn't stop there. He said, and then teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. Obey everything I've commanded you, not just listen to it. And surely I'm with you to the very end of the age. And what has he commanded us to do? Love people. Love them. Help them. Serve them. Be different. Transformed, changed. Not just churchgoers, church beers. Does that make sense? Because we have to be different people. teach me, and I will be quiet. Show me where I've been wrong. When we do that, he'll come in and say, listen, we need to maybe watch our attitude a little bit more. Maybe you need to stop being so self-righteous. Maybe you need to stop using your life as a rule for everybody else's righteousness, because that doesn't work. Because you're just as flawed as everybody else, if you want to understand that. We all are, aren't we? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So when you start to use your life as a rule for righteousness for everyone, then you become a Pharisee, and then actually Jesus says, listen, there are people getting in heaven before you. Because you begin to start to use your life as a rule for righteousness for everyone. Have you ever ran into someone that uses their life as a rule for righteousness for you? You become a judger with evil thoughts. Whitewashed tombs with dirty things inside. Transformation only happens when we're like Jesus. How do we become like Jesus? We read his word, we do his word, then we follow what he says. You can't be a follower of Jesus if you're not following. And your only following is if you follow after what he did. You know what a disciple really was? Is a person that actually followed and did what the master did. I do, you do. I serve, you serve. I love, you love. I forgive. Oh, here's a big one. You forgive. I don't hold grudges. Oh, goodness. Didn't Jesus on the cross, he said, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. Right? We got to let it go. And when we begin to do that, he'll show us how to actually be these people. How do we become more like Jesus? How do we become people who are transformed? We pray these prayers. You are good, and what you do is good. That changes how you see things. And you become a positive Christian person. You don't walk around with a scowl on your face all the time. Love the Lord. Jesus loves you. I hate life. You ever heard a Christian? You're like, hey man, how's it going? They're like, well, I'm here. I don't even know what the coffee pot's here. That door is here. Everything's here. The point of it is how you doing? Man, I'm blessed today. God is so good to me. He's been so good. I love that. You know, you count your blessings. I love what you were praying just earlier. You're like, and it was the most authentic thing that I'd ever heard. I'm so thankful. I got to go fishing this week. I caught me a couple of fish. I was able to ride with my mom and dad. I was able to do these things. Listen, it's not about all the big things. It's about the everyday wonderful things that you get to be involved with. Show me what is good. When you see that, you become different. I love that. High five up there. I love that. Show me where I've been wrong. Give me judgment. So I don't keep screwing this up. Because I don't want to have a lifetime of regrets. Because if I keep screwing it up, how am I going to help people who keep screwing it up with me? You can't be a person who keeps screwing it up trying to help people to get out of that. You've got to begin to read God's word. Follow what it says. Proverbs, read that. You become a transformed person. And finally, be quiet. Show me where I've been wrong. That changes your attitude. That's where real life comes. Because then Jesus says, well, you got to change your attitude. How do you change your attitude? Get closer to me. You can't do it on your own. You draw closer to me. Scripture even says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. And then you become this transformed individual that can change the world. As I knock that over. Listen to this. John 3:30 says this. How do you want to change our world? Through the Bible? Do what it says. And how do you do it? It says, he must become greater. I must become less. You got to let him live inside of you. When you do that, then you begin to share. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. Here's my prayer and hope for you. I borrow this for a minute. My hope for you, and I know you, maybe you'll never see me ever again. I think you will, but maybe you don't. But if I was able to help you today to be able to make some difference in your life, I'm thankful for that. But the only way that it's going to make a difference is if you really take this. And I mean this with all my heart. If you really take it and you read it, I'm so thankful your sister's reading it. Because what's going to happen is God's going to speak to her through that. It doesn't matter how old she is. I mean, she's going to be like, whoa, I didn't know that. It already is. That's why I think probably your trip there was as good as it was. I'm grateful for that. There was a transformation. Why? Because when you read this, it changes you. If you really do what it says. Reading it just doesn't do you any good. I've seen people, and I've done it. Got in the morning, get my coffee, read the Bible. I'm done. I've done my nod to God, and I'm out. It's not about you getting. It's about you changing and transforming so that you can show love and share love with this world. Because if we don't do that, then none of this makes any difference. If you don't do that, then what we do here today, truly, honestly, is wasted. Yeah, it's okay to come and sing. And we'll worship, and that's wonderful. God loves that. But what he wants more than that is this. Is he doesn't need our worship. You know what he needs? He needs us to change the world. That's what his son was about. And the only way that happens is if we take his son into the world. Read this word. Do what it says. Let us be transformed. And watch people truly come to the Savior Jesus Christ. Listen. And then... Then life will be better. Look, some of you may be even skeptical of Christianity. Maybe you're just even busy. I get it. But let me just tell you one thing. God loves you more than you can ever even know. He gave his life so that you could live forever. And if you don't know him today, listen, please try to just check out who he is. He's okay with you kicking the tires a little bit. He's okay with you checking it out. But he also wants to ask you the same question. Who do you think, now that you've heard, who do you think I am? My prayer is that you would say, you're the Savior, you're the Son of God. And I know that you have the power to save me now and forever. But what I'm going to do in respect of that is, as a Christian, I'm going to read this. I'm going to do what it says. It's going to transform me, and I'm going to be the light. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. He didn't say you walking around reading to everybody and shoving this in somebody's face isn't the light of the world. He said, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill can't be hidden. Neither do people light the lamp and put it under a bowl, but they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, you let your light shine before people that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. See, people have to know that old saying, remember, they need to know how much you care, for they care. Get this word into your life. Let it change you and transform you. Then you'll see a difference. As a matter of fact, here's what I can tell you. If you really would let this transform you, you wouldn't have enough room in this place to keep people out of here. You wouldn't. Because people are attracted to life. People are attracted to goodness. And it doesn't matter where the world says, well, your church won't grow. It's out here and it's out in this. Don't believe them. I've seen churches grow everywhere. I've seen thousands and thousands of people coming to Christ. Wouldn't you love to see this church grow so much where you're like, where did they come from? Wouldn't you love to see a baptistry where your floor is constantly wet and you have to replace the floor all the time because people are giving their life to Christ? Wouldn't you like to see that? Well, you know what? Here's the thing. If Jesus can transform and change the world with 12 guys who screwed it up all the time, he certainly can transform it with you and me. But it has to start here. It has to start now. Has to start today. The Word of God is powerful. It's useful. But it's not useful unless you do something with it. Don't merely listen to it. Do what it says. Then you will be a blessing. Then you will be blessed. Does that make sense?
Yes.
In the words of Forrest Gump, that's all I have to say about that. Now I'm going to pray. This time, I'm going to hand it back over, I guess, to Larry. Thank you for letting me share with you today. Do something with God's Word. Let it change you. And you really will be a different person. And people will want to know why you are the way you are. You can help people know Christ. But anyway, let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word that you've given us today. These prayers have the ability to demolish who we are. Transform us. But it's not going to do us any good if we see these in the Word of God, if we see these prayers in print and not pray them. And mean them. Lord, you want us to see how you're good and how you do good things so that we can be people who actually are excited about the work in the world, not just so down upon what's going on around us. Yes, there's always going to be bad. But you're good. You're doing good in this world. And that good can come through us if we're transformed. You want us to actually pray that prayer that tells us how to actually just be people who avoid mistakes. Teach us your decrees. Show us good judgment so that we don't go around making mistakes. And Lord, teach us finally how to be these people that are quiet, you know, where we've been wrong, so that we can truly get rid of grudges, sourness, and we can be kind people who share the love through our life, these lights that make a difference. Jesus, if you didn't tell us we're the light of the world, if you didn't go to the trouble to say that you're the light of the world, and that we're supposed to show that, it wouldn't be in your word. And Lord, we know coming to church is a wonderful thing. Reading the Bible here is a wonderful thing. But if it's not shown through our life, it's just like we put a bowl over us. We put a barrel over us, and this world can't be transformed. Help us to be transformed first so that we can transform others through the power of your love. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ, and I know souls will be saved, and this church will grow. And it's in Christ we pray.